When Dave and Jerry asked us to come, the Lord just kind of put something on my heart to share with you guys, to really, you know, we just celebrated the awesome celebration of Veterans Day, and Thanksgiving Day is upcoming. And a lot of you in this room, I have great, all of you have great respect for you. I really honor you today. My mom will be 75 years old next year, and my dad is 77. And so many of you in this room, you're old enough to be my mom or dad. And so I honor you that way. I look at a generation where you guys have paid awesome prices. You have paid an awesome price. When you look, and I look at the privileges and the freedoms and the opportunities that are afforded me and my wife and my sons, and it is because of prices that you have been willing to pay. Many of you, you stayed on jobs that you hated, and you worked with people who were abusive. But you stayed there because of commitment to your family. You were thinking long term, not just about the now. See, that's what's difficult about this generation that we're ministering to. They don't think long term. They make snap decisions. If someone gets them upset or they get offended at on their job, they'll quit. And most of us in this room, you go, I don't understand walking away from a job when you know you don't have another one. I don't get that. But that's what we see in this generation. But many of you, you stayed in places where you hated it every day, but you were thinking long term. Sometimes you had no choice but to stay. And because of that decision, because of sometimes where there was no decision, you had no choice. There was a lot that you have encountered and that you have confronted. You've been in a war, much like what the actual natural physical wars that you have lived through, and lost family and friends through. But you've been in a war in the spirit also. You've been in spiritual battles for a great deal of your life. The Lord had a friend. She didn't know this at the time. Don't worry about all these papers. I just had some couple of things I wanted to read to you today. A friend of mine who works in the Air Force sent Carol and I an email this week. She had no idea I was going to be sharing with you guys this week, and she just happened to send this email. It's called Friday Mornings at the Pentagon. And as soon as I read it, I knew that this was for you today. It's written by Joseph Galloway for the McClatchy newspaper. He says, over the last 12 months, 1,042 soldiers, Marines, sailors, and Air Force personnel have given their lives in the terrible duty that is war. Thousands more have come on stretchers. They've come home on stretchers, horribly wounded, and facing months or years in military hospitals. This week, I'm turning my space, meaning this writer, he was turning his column over to a good friend and former roommate, Army Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bateman, who recently completed a year-long tour of duty in Iraq and is now back at the Pentagon. Here is Lieutenant Colonel Bateman's account of a little-known ceremony that fills the halls of the Army corridor of the Pentagon with cheers, applause, and many tears every Friday morning. It first appeared on May 17th on a weblog. And here is the description of what happens in the Pentagon every Friday. It is a 110 yards walk from the E ring to the A ring of the Pentagon. This section of the Pentagon is newly renovated. The floors shine, the hallway is broad, and the light is brilliant. At this instant, the entire length of the corridor is packed with officers, a few sergeants, and some civilians, all crammed tightly, three and four deep against the walls. There are thousands here. This hallway, more than any other, is the Army hallway. The G3 offices line on one side, G2 on the other, G8 is around the corner, but all are Army. Moderate conversations flow in a low buzz. Friends who may not have seen each other for a few weeks or a few years They spot each other across the way and they renew. Everyone shifts to ensure an open path remains down the center. The air conditioning system was not designed for this press of bodies in this area, so the temperature is rising already, but nobody cares. Then at 10:36 hours, the clapping starts at the E-ring. This is the outermost of the five rings of the Pentagon, and it is the closest to the entrance to the building. This clapping is low, but it's sustained and it's hearty. It is applause with a deep emotion because as it moves forward in a wave down the length of the hallway, it's a steady rolling wave of sound. It's moving at the pace of the soldier in the wheelchair who marks the forward edge of that applause. He is the first. He is missing the greater part of one leg, and some of his wounds are still suppurating. But his age, I expect that he is a private, or perhaps a private first class. Captains, majors, lieutenant colonels, and colonels meet his gaze and nod as they applaud, soldier to soldier. 3 years ago, when I described one of these events, those lining the hallways were somewhat different. The applause was a little wilder, perhaps in the private guilt for not having shared in the burden yet. Now, almost everyone lining the hallways is like the man in the wheelchair, also a combat veteran. But this steadies the applause. I think it deepens the sentiment. We have all been there now. The soldier's chair is pushed by, I believe, by a full colonel. Behind him and stretching the length of the rings, E to A, come more of his peers. Each private, corporal, sergeant, assisted as needed by a field grade officer. By 1100 hours, 24 minutes of steady applause. My hands hurt, and I laugh to myself at how stupid that sounds in my own head. My hands hurt. Please, shut up and clap. For 24 minutes, soldier after soldier has come down this hallway. 20, 25, 30. 30 soldiers, but 53 legs. And perhaps 52 hands. But down this hall comes 30 solid hearts. They pass down this corridor of officers and applause and then meet for a private lunch at which they are the guest of honor hosted by the generals. Some are wheeled along. Some insist upon getting out of their chairs to march as best they can with their chin held up down this hallway. Through this most unique audience, some are catching handshakes and smiling like a politician at a 4th of July parade. More than a couple of them seem amazed and are smiling shyly. There are families with them as well, the 18-year-old war bride pushing her 19-year-old husband's wheelchair and not quite understanding why her husband is so affected by this. The boy she grew up with, now a man who had never shed a tear, he's now crying. The older immigrant Latino parents who have perhaps more than their wounded mid-20s son an appreciation for the emotion given on their son's behalf. No man in this hallway, walking or clapping, is ashamed by the silent tears on more than a few cheeks. An airborne ranger wipes his eyes only to better see. A couple of officers in this crowd have themselves been a part of this parade in the past. These are our men, broken in body they may be, but they are our brothers and we welcome them home. This parade has gone on every single Friday, all year long, for more than 4 years. Did you know that? And the media hasn't yet told the story and probably never will. Why would Pastor Chris Green take the time to read this little story? And it is because as I read this, it was not only apparent about these young men and these veterans, but the Lord just told me to share this with you, all of you sitting in this room, that has been your life. As I was praying for you before coming, the Lord says, you have been in the wars. You have been in the battles. And just like in the physical, these young men came home and they've lost limbs. And nobody even talks about the emotional trauma of war and the psychological trauma. But many of you have been there in your life, in your family. And here in a season and in a time, I'm so glad, Pastor Dave, how you subtitled Primetime Ministry, the God's Not Finished With Me Yet group. Because there is so much that you not only have to offer, but you have to give. God's purpose and his plan for your life still yet to be completed through you, through your children, through your children's children. What is it that was in your heart when you were growing up? Can you think back? When you were growing up and there were things that you were dreaming of doing and becoming, and there's been such a disappointment. Now that I'm quickly approaching 50 and starting to realize some of those things that I may never see in my lifetime, but I'm looking at my sons already picking it up. What are those things that were just kind of crazy dreams that maybe someone told you when you were in high school, when you were trying to go through college, or later on in life, it'll never be? What are those things that you finally got to a point where you realize it's never really going to happen? Even that is a wound. Even that is another shot. Even that is another limb being taken away. And the Lord just told me just to say these words to you. For many of you, you've never had that moment of coming home where someone said, you know what? I really do appreciate the price that you paid. It is not too much for me to stand and applaud. And it's not too much for me to stand and humbly bow before you and say, thank you. We appreciate it. Why at this season and this time, Thanksgiving is a time where we are giving thanks for so many things in this country. We thank God for the food. We thank him for the bountiful blessings. We thank him for homes and property. But you know what still is the most valuable? I thank you, Lord God, for relationships. I thank you, Lord, for these moms and these dads, for these grandmas and grandparents, for these great grandparents who were willing to take the stand, to take the hit, to take the blow. And just because maybe there were some people in our lives, or sometimes even in relationships, whether it's on jobs, family members, sometimes even in our church. That's why I love what God is doing through Primetime. I can understand why there will be some people who say, I don't want to go to a Primetime because I don't want anybody to look at me that way. I don't want them to look at me that way. But I want you to remember this story today. Because there are those of us, the way that we see you, it's not you're done. It's not get out of the way. Not you get out of the way. It's I need to step out of the way and give you a hand and applaud and say, thank you. You are appreciated. You are loved. For so many years, you've had to deal with a broken spirit. Proverbs mentions that. A broken spirit, who can bear? And so the Lord just sent this little black preacher from St. Louis, Missouri, no name, no fame, don't want any, just to say, you're loved. There's some of us that are sitting on the sideline, and we're not grumbling and complaining about all the stuff that we don't have. We're thankful to God because there were some who went before us and paved the way. I really love sports. I love football. love basketball. And I love the not just the guys that score all the points. It's not just the guys that whose names we always see. Believe me, for all the sports folks that understand this, you read about the guys who get the records, but there was somebody that blocked and protected. The running back who gets all the scores, all the touchdowns, he did so because there were some unsung heroes who blocked and paved the way. The guy who scores all the points in basketball, he does so because somebody was willing to pass it to him. And that's what you guys have done for me and my generation. You were willing to block. You come away with the most wounds and the most injuries when you're the blocker. My generation comes along and we're, well, yes, we scored the point, yeah. And we walk away and we're celebrating with everybody. Ah! And then we forget to turn around and say, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. I got this career, I got this job because you hung in there. You set an example in front of me so that I would even marry the right girl. You are appreciated. You are loved. And even if no human being ever says it, God just happened to send a human being to say it to you today. But can't you see your Father in heaven saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. But God, I never had a great big ministry. I didn't pastor a church. I didn't have all the great exploits and missions. And I'm not on the cover of any magazines. But there are those of us who are standing in pulpits like I do now and sit and talk to another generation. And I'm there because Mom and Dad, Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, they took the blows. They took the brunt of it. I want to close with a little story that many of you probably are very familiar with, the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little guy in the Bible. And he wanted to get a closer look. He had been hearing about Jesus. He didn't have a really good reputation in the community. But he wanted to really find out about Jesus, hearing about him all the time. And so there's a crowd. So he goes up and he's trying to check out what Jesus is doing and saying. But the Bible says he was, here's a good way to, you know, the politically correct way to say it. He was vertically challenged. Thank you, dear. You can't say short now. You can't say short. You know, you got to be politically correct. Doesn't that drive you guys crazy? You got to be politically correct. I must now say vertically challenged. But the challenge in his life, spiritually speaking, wasn't just the physical thing that he could not see over the crowd. But there was a life, I believe, of constantly being challenged, unable to see above the crowd, unable to see above everybody else. The Bible said because of the press, some of the interpretations of the word press. I happen to work in the press office. I work for the Department of Education in the press office. So it's real, lot of noise in the press, information going in and out, reporters, news, just busy, busy. And he couldn't hear Jesus because of the press. Sometimes it could be life's experiences, things that have happened, disappointments, hurt. All of that could be part of the press in your and my life. The reason why I can't quite get past all of, not just the noise, but sometimes even the people to see Jesus. And so the Bible says that Zacchaeus, since he couldn't get past the press, he could see that Jesus was going to come walking down a particular street. So he ran down the street, climbed up in a sycamore tree, sycamore trees lined this particular street in that city all the time. So he just went up into one of them so that he could take a look for himself beyond the press, beyond what somebody said. You know how it can be that way sometimes. My cousin's uncle's friend's mother said this about Jesus or about that church, but I'm going to go find out for myself. I want to join with the pastor. I appreciate Pastor Smuckers and his wife for even being sensitive to a ministry like this, to an outreach like this, to fellowship like this, giving every single one of us, every generation in this house, an opportunity to get away from the press and let me hear Jesus for myself in a way that I can enjoy him with my peers, with my family, with people who think like I do, who understand what I'm saying, even when I don't have the words to say. Sometimes I look at you guys and someone can stand up here and they can just say one word and everyone in the room will just go, mm-hmm. My generation, my wife and I, we go, why? It's because they can name a year. They can say 1963. Someone can say, just name off any year, 68. Mm-hmm. I remember that time. For us, we were just kids. We go, what? What was so big? What was the big deal about 63? You would have had to have known our president. You would have had to have known how much that affected us. We wouldn't relate to that. So the Lord allows ministries like that so that people that have shared so much in common, even with the turmoil of our nation, good and bad, there's still that knowing. I'm up in the sycamore tree and I'm looking at Jesus for myself. The Bible says that Jesus came to that place where Zacchaeus was. Can I pause there for a moment and say, Jesus comes right to where you are. Wow. Imagine how Zacchaeus must have felt at that moment. I'm up in the tree. I'm just up here just to check it out. But I didn't expect him to be walking along and then stop and look up. It's like that the phrase that's often used is the deer caught in the headlight. If you've ever seen that scene, you'll know what I mean. Anybody ever caught a deer in the headlight? Hopefully you stopped and you didn't. Okay, I'll stop there. That's how Zacchaeus must have felt in that moment. I just wanted to see you. I didn't expect you to see me. And today I trust that it's one of those moments where you can see that the Lord sees you. Often when we gather together as the people of God, and it's true and it's right, that our focus would be upon him, to see him. But I love those moments when our almighty, awesome God, my best friend, the one who understands me more than anybody else, stops and he looks at me. And he told Zacchaeus, said, come down. I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus had some stuff in his life that he didn't want anybody to know about. Some things I'm sure they maybe have never shared with anybody else. I believe that that's present in this room. Part of the price that you have paid has been devastating things that have happened to you in your life, in your childhood, in your teenage years that you have never been able to talk about, never been able to disclose. But I'm here to tell you, God does not make it a public display. When he told Zacchaeus to come down out of the tree, today I'm coming to your house, that's exactly what he did. He went to Zacchaeus' house. And we hear no comment. Sometime go back and read the story. We hear nothing about what went on in that house between Jesus and Zacchaeus. Don't you love that about God? He's going to make it up close and personal. In fact, we didn't know what Zacchaeus had done until Zacchaeus came out and said, everybody that I stole from, I'm going to return. But think about it. Jesus didn't walk up and say, you thief, you swindler, and start telling his mistakes and his bad decisions or the things that even happened to him. He just said, I'm coming to your house. Make haste, quickly. Come on down. I'm coming to your house. That's what I love about God. And today I hear that for you today. The Lord's just saying, come on, I'm coming to your house. And all those things that have brought those hurts and those wounds, the deep things that you've never been able to get out, the Lord wants to settle it. He wants to settle it. He wants to heal it. That's his desire. Can you just pray with me now as we just close in these final moments? Lord, I thank you. We worship you today. What an awesome God you are. And today we welcome you as you have taken the moment to stop. Look at us and from our perch. And you see us, Lord. And we welcome your eyes. We know that they're not eyes judging us. They're not eyes that are condemning us. But they are eyes to see deep past the hurt and the pain. And you're able now to bring the healing. In this moment, all of us, Lord, we receive it. Yes, Lord. And instead, would you see this with me as we are praying, people of God? It is not just the natural thing that happens in the Pentagon each Friday, where human beings are applauding and welcoming wounded soldiers. But in this room right now, in the spirit right now, I sense the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Lord. And the heavenly host. This isn't just for after we die and go to heaven, but the heavenly host are standing and applauding these wounded soldiers. Right now, as you're sitting here, they are saying, thank you. We appreciate, we praise our God for what he has brought you through. And yet there is more that he's going to bring through your life. Yes, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for those that are right now standing in the gap for their children, for grandchildren. They see a world that is running headlong into destruction. So there's a lot of worries. There's a lot of fear about the future for our children. But Lord, we cast every burden upon you. Yes, Lord God, just as you brought us through. And here we stand today, here we sit today. We trust you for the future of our children and our loved ones. In Jesus' name, you get all the praise today. Thank you for healing hearts and homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, praise God today. Just give the Lord a hand.